He's Craig Wilson.
And he's Duncan MacLeod. Yeah, him over there.
Yep, over here. Now that we know who's who, this is Talk Central episode 92 for Sunday, 25 August 2013.
Talk Central is brought to you by Tech Central, the home of South Africa's best technology journalism. Look for us on Twitter at Tech Central,
on Google Plus at Plus Tech Central,
and on Facebook at Tech Central ZA.
On Talk Central this week, we talk Dina Pule's fall from grace, Eunice Karim on local loop unbundling and termination rates, and Orange's attack on South Africa's uncompetitive mobile operators.
As always, we pick the week's biggest winner and biggest loser, and Duncan and I will pick our product or app of the week.
That's right, but first we need to pay the bills. We'll be back in a moment.
Tired of no internet connection, no line availability, no signal? Then say yah. Say yah to cutting-edge technology. Say yah to satellite internet access. Say yah to high speed. Say yah to always on. Say yah to reliable. Say yah to affordable. Say yah to quick installation. Say yah to YahClick satellite internet access. And you could be saying yah to free hardware and installation. YahClick, available from Vox Telecom and Atlantic. SMS your name to 48484 and we'll call you right back. Standard rates apply.
Well, welcome to the show. How's it, Craig?
Yeah, no complaints. How are you, Duncan?
Very good, thanks. Just a bit cold. Winter's decided to throw in a last little bit of energy at us before the spring arrives.
Indeed, but plenty of hot headlines this week, starting with our favourite, the former Communications Minister, Dina Pule.
And what an interesting session it was in Parliament with Ben Turok, the head of the ethics, co-chairman of the ethics committee, delivering an absolute lashing to the sacked Communications Minister, who was forced to sit through his presentation and then to be rebuked by the Speaker of the House, Max Sisulu, while she stood there and was slammed for her breach of the ethics code.
Indeed, and bringing the bringing Parliament into disrepute and sort of disgracing the institution. But an interesting turn of events at the end. Pule opted to get up and deliver what she called an apology, but I'm not sure the rest of the public would consider an apology. It was very qualified, and
the word "if" featured very prominently.
Indeed, basically saying, if I've done something wrong, then I apologise, suggesting that she doesn't think she's done anything wrong at all, which is precisely the problem.
Yeah, indeed. Anyway, we're gonna see how this one develops. It was interesting, of course, that the various MPs, including the Minister of Basic Education and others, went up and comforted her and hugged her afterwards,
sure,
as if she deserved sympathy.
Given the Minister of Basic Education's track record, one can understand why they like each other.
Yes, indeed. Although, funnily enough, Helen Ziller, who heads up the Democratic Alliance, has had nothing but praise for the Minister of Basic Education in recent weeks,
right,
writing glowingly about her in her online newsletter.
Yes, that's true.
But it was an interesting spectacle, and there was an interesting piece in the Mail and Guardian this morning, which we published as well, on why some of the MPs went and supported her. And I certainly must say I was not convinced by the arguments put forward at all.
No, indeed. These hiding behind arguments of cultural norms and things, it's just ludicrous, really.
Yes, I agree. She's been found to have breached the ethics code. She's been had the maximum penalties imposed on her. There's no reason for her to be able to, she should not be able to anyway hold her head high. And of course, we must remember that there's a series of investigations ongoing, including the upcoming report from the Public Protector and one or more investigations by potential investigations, current and potential investigations by the South African Police Service and the Hawks.
Indeed.
So Dina Pule, the former Communications Minister, is far from out of trouble, but interesting session in Parliament this week, and we'll talk about a bit more about that, I think, when we get to our winner and loser of the week section.
Indeed, but in the meantime, of course, Pule has thankfully been replaced by none other than Eunice Karim, and he had some really interesting things to say on Friday in a Google Hangout with the Mail and Guardian about local loop unbundling and termination rates.
He did indeed. Interesting session. I can't think of another communications minister who's been involved in some sort of online discussion like this since Paolo Jordan was the minister in 1994-95.
Right.
Certainly, I don't recall Well, the former minister Roy Pariachi recorded some podcasts with Tech Central over the year or so that he was in office. But interesting to see him taking advantage of these online tools to talk to people.
It's great to see him being a communicative minister of communication.
Very communicative, and you know, perhaps that's his grounding as a journalist. He started work as a journalist before progressing into politics. Interesting. I mean, I remember 94. I'm really giving away my age here now, but shortly after Pello Jordan was appointed in 1994 as the first telecommunications minister in the Nelson Mandela administration, one of the first things he did was he engaged with people on the internet in 94. Remember, this was a very long time ago, on internet relay chat, IRC.
Amazing.
Which I don't know if any people still use these days. They probably do.
There are a few IRC users.
But and he was praised at the time. Pello Jordan was quite highly regarded in those early days. He didn't unfortunately stay on long as communications minister. He was replaced by Jay Naidu, who wasn't incompetent at all, it must be said. It's interesting times in that office.
But that seems to be the view here. Karim certainly seems to understand the value of having a dialogue with the public and the media in particular.
Yeah.
And you know, I think the result is just anecdotally, other journalists I've spoken to, and I've asked a lot of, you know, people who've had meetings with him and so on in recent weeks from various companies, what their first impressions are. And the suggestion is that the bonus of this approach is that people view him as, you know, sort of open and hardworking interested.
People are definitely prepared to give him the benefit of the doubt.
Absolutely.
And certainly he seems to be getting on top of his portfolio very rapidly, judging by the Google Hangout this week and listening to some of the comments he was making specifically on local loop and bundling. He's clearly been engaging with Telkom, ICASA and others on this issue. He admitted, which I don't think any politician in this portfolio has ever done, that he doesn't understand all of the issues, that he's going to need to consult further on it, and it's complex, etc. The one worry, I guess, would be that he consults too much. You know, you can consult until you're red in the face.
Sure.
What we need at the end of the day is delivery, and it needs to come pretty quickly. But I think I get the impression that he understands that, and that we are going to start to see delivery from his ministry during the course of this year still.
And of course, the other thing is he engaged with the termination rates, those being the fees that operators charge one another to field calls on their networks. And of course, one of the contentious issues, because there's a big argument that's been largely backed up in recent years, that if you bring down termination rates, you bring down call rates.
Yeah.
Or in prices for consumers, at least. And he spoke to those as well on Friday.
He made it very clear that the termination rates, in his view, are still too high and need to come down. I think that's a general sort of view in the industry. I think perhaps the only people that would disagree with that or have I think there's perhaps only MTN and Vodacom might disagree with that.
Sure.
And even then, I think both of those companies are probably resigned to some reduction in termination rate. They're probably going to argue that it should be smaller rather than larger and take longer rather than happen all in one go. He's certainly moving quickly to get on top of all of the issues. I'm quite encouraged, and I think we're going to see stuff happening from him. My biggest concern, quite frankly, right now is that he's just a placeholder minister until the next election, and they're going to put some incompetent minister back in there after next year.
Sure, absolutely, yes. A buddy who needs a benefit.
Mm. But someone who's a hard worker like this is clearly interested in and intends getting on top of the issues as rapidly as possible. I think a good 5-year term, he could probably sort out most of the problems that have been created by his predecessors.
But he's made a great deal of progress. Yeah. Fortunately, he has spoken, of course, about realizing the limitations of what can be achieved by the election, but also realizing the importance of setting a sort of firm and clear path up to the election and beyond it. So let's hope that if he performs, he gets to stay put.
Yeah, it's interesting. This election, I think everything's going to turn on this election and in just about everything we see in this country. I think that Dina Pule could be in more trouble than she otherwise might have been, because I think the ANC is probably going to want to... The ANC may choose to make an example of her to send a message to the public that they're hard on corruption. She seems to be disposable to Zuma. I wouldn't be surprised if the full force of the might of the law comes down on Dina Pule ahead of the 2014 general election.
Also, in particular, because the president is trying to avoid the force of the law coming anywhere near him in the process. So she'd make a very good scapegoat and example. But yes, we'll have
to... All about PR ahead of the election.
Have to wait and see, yes.
Anyway, let's move on to our next story of the week, and that's Orange. I had a fascinating chat with Sébastien Crozier, who heads up a company called Orange Horizons, which is a subsidiary of the giant French telecommunications operator, which is tasked with expanding Orange's operations into new markets. And they're expanding first. Their first area of interest is South Africa.
And of course, he had something of a tongue-lashing to give the operators as well. They've gotten it from all sides this week, haven't they?
Yeah, they have indeed. He's made some... I mean, his comments were quite interesting and quite harsh, I thought. Quite, I wouldn't say harsh, I'd say very critical of what he calls their anti-competitive behavior in, for example, they haven't moved into this market in a big way yet. They're hoping to launch a full-service mobile virtual network operator if they can get the right... regulations in place, or supportive regulations in place from ICASA. But I think it's good that they're here stirring the pot. They're a big international operator. They're one of the biggest operators in the world, certainly in Europe. And they can bring a lot of expertise, regulatory expertise, etc., to South Africa, and can really start to stir things up, I think. And I think that's what they're planning to do.
Sure.
He mentioned to me this week, for example, that they're going to be supplying ICASA with a whole lot of best practice case studies and stuff out of Europe,
right,
and out of their operations on how to manage termination rates and where they should be set based on a market this size, etc. So I think it's good to have an additional player in the market providing input, lobbying, so that it's not just the same tired arguments from the same two dominant mobile operators in South Africa with putting forward the same case.
And obviously we must be sensitive to the fact that Orange is enormous and is not wholly devoid of some of the problems that we see with our own enormous players. I mean, were they to get in, but their interest is different. You know, they have an interest in shaking things up, and we're seeing that even with the small things they've done already. In that online store, when you look at the prices they charge for hardware versus the prices the operators charge. Already, that's fantastic. I mean, I must admit, I've recommended that store to a number of people.
I look at it all the time.
Particularly as as I've said before, I'm quite an advocate of people being on prepaid, not contract.
Well, when I move to prepaid next year, I'm going to use that Orange store
to buy your device.
Phone. Yeah,
exactly. I mean, this is absolutely the way to do it, and I'm delighted that we've got the option. And I think it also highlights for consumers just how big a markup the operators are often putting on these devices.
No, it's very, very useful indeed. I mean, if I often look at the recommended retail price. I mean, if you look at the price, for example, of a Samsung Galaxy S4 on a Vodacom or MTN, if you're going to buy prepaid from them and you're going to look at Orange, the price difference is substantial.
Sometimes as much as, you know, two and a half thousand rand.
Yeah, it's incredible.
And of course, Orange is only able to do this because of their scale and the fact that they can buy in such bulk.
But
it's wonderful. And it's alerting to consumers to some of the instances where perhaps they haven't had the best deal before.
Of course, Vodacom is part of Vodafone, which is one of the biggest mobile operators in the world, too.
Sure, which just speaks to maintaining profit margins.
And there's no reason that they couldn't offer handsets on a prepaid basis at the same price as Orange does on its store.
Sure, well, hopefully, as we've seen with price cuts driving operators to respond, perhaps if there's enough momentum, they'll have to cut prices.
Well, I guess the pressures need to come from all sides. I mean, we've seen there's a major price war going on in the mobile market at the moment, especially in the prepaid space. And I wonder to what extent operators massage prices in other areas, like pushing up the price of handsets and that sort of thing, to try and counter the effect of the reductions in handset rates.
Absolutely.
Sorry, in call rates, rather.
You can bet their best actuaries are focused on this heavily. It's another reason I'm such a big fan of people being on prepaid, is that the porting... the exercise of porting is so relatively painless that then when prices move, you can move relatively simply. And that's really how we get operators to change behavior, as we saw with MTN.
Interesting.
MTN only cut prices because they were losing customers.
Indeed. I was just about to say, and South African consumers finally seem to be shaking off some of that lethargy that they're famous for and actually shifting. And we saw Cell C taking significant market share from MTN over the first half of this year.
Indeed.
Great. Excellent. Well, I think that takes care of the major news stories this week. There were so many other things that we could carry on talking about them for the rest of the afternoon. But let's move on to our winner and loser of the week. I think let's start with the loser again. In fact, we've got two losers this week. We like to pick one, but they're two such goodies to choose from this week. We just have to go with both of them, I think. The first, of course, is Dina Pule and her half-hearted apology in Parliament. So I think we've said all we need to say on that subject for the moment. And of course, the other loser this week has to be Gupta TV, officially known as ANN7, the new 24-hour news channel, which makes the SABC's era error-prone 24-hour news channel launch looked like. It was run by...
Positively professional.
By CNN International or something. It was...
I'm sure some of you have seen some of the videos going around on YouTube of the various... what's a polite way to put it? The various mishaps and missteps,
gaffes
that ANN7 has made early on. Plus the suggestion that one does wonder where they got some of these staff, frankly. Yes. They don't seem to be seasoned television professionals by any stretch. Certainly there are some big names that they've hooked, but a lot of the people do look like they were dragged out of the back office, thrown into a decent blouse and popped in front of a camera.
Indeed. I think to be fair, there are some good journalists on there.
No, absolutely.
Chantal Rutter-Dross, who seems to be the evening anchor, caught a bit of her show the other evening, and that was I thought that was pretty good and pretty slick.
Sure.
But you're right, they also have some people who clearly have no broadcast experience at all.
Well, this is the problem with 24-hour channels, right? You've got to fill 24 hours.
Yes.
I find it another example of another reason not to have broadcast television unless you watch sport.
Indeed.
I mean, these are just, if this is how we're expected to get the news, really, I have the internet, I have Twitter. Yeah. I have no need for some government, indirectly government-funded stations, whether it's the SABCs or the so-called Gupta TV. This just seems like a waste of my time and brain cells, frankly.
for sure. I think 24-hour news channels are good, and I think ENCA has done a pretty good job with their channel. I think it's useful to have that there, especially when there's big breaking political news, the coverage of live events and that sort of thing. But whether South Africa can support three 24-hour news channels, I have my doubts.
Sure. I just wonder, do we really need them?
Yeah.
Anyway,
our winner this week, we had a bit of debate about who to pick, and I think we have to go with Ben Turok, the head of the Ethics Committee, for not bending in the face of threats and intimidation by alleged threats and intimidation, I should say, by Posani Mabisa and people allegedly around Dina Pule.
And people in his own party, it seems.
Yeah, around the investigation into Dina Pule, the Ethics Committee investigation into Dina Pule. And frankly, for having the guts to press ahead with this, even though he was protected by bodyguards after the threats were made,
sure,
and to stand up in Parliament and not deviate from his job of running the Ethics Committee and
honestly presenting its findings.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. So well done to Ben Turok. Gets two thumbs up from us.
Indeed. Congrats for that. Anyway, the last feature of the week, as always, is our app or product pick of the week. Well, Craig, why don't you go first? You've got a game, you said.
Sure, which, as I said, is very unusual because I am by no means a gamer. But a few weeks ago, Apple had a sort of special on a number of apps available for free to celebrate some or other milestone of X number of billion whatever apps downloads since the App Store started. And anyway, I downloaded a few of these apps just to have a look at, and one of them was a game for iOS. It's a universal app, so it works on iPhone and on iPad, but I think it's best enjoyed on iPad, and it's called Badland. It's a sort of left-to-right scrolling platformer-style type game. You are a nondescript fuzzy creature in a forest, only all is not quite well in the forest. There are gears and cogs and nasty spiky things that want to destroy you, but it's a great deal of fun. It's a sort of one-touch game. You sort of hold the screen to move this creature up or down, and the things move left to right. It's very well constructed. The gameplay is very, very clever. You can collect various things along the way that, you know, change the speed of the gameplay. Other ones clone you and split you into numerous nondescript creatures. And the idea is really to just ensure that one of these creatures makes it to the end of each level. Anyway, I found it extremely addictive. Lost a good 3 hours to it the other night. It's $3.99, that's in dollars, obviously.
$3.99.
Not $3.99. No, sorry, yes. $3.99
okay.
In the App Store. And thoroughly addictive. So don't do it on a Monday night when you've got a project due on Tuesday.
Great. Well, I'll install it on my iPad this weekend and...
And have a fiddle
so with
to
that.
Speak.
Yeah. I'm going to... My pick of this week is... It's a little generic. I'm just going to pick voice search because I've become so impressed with the quality of voice recognition technologies. I've particularly been using Google's Android-based voice search product, but I'm sure Apple's Siri is just as good.
It has come along in leaps and bounds. I can confirm that, yeah.
And I'm just amazed. I was, for example, in a noisy restaurant last night, and I was using it to do voice searches, and it was fine. Even the loud restaurant restaurant environment, it was able to pick up my voice and differentiate from all that background noise, which is really good. They've really come a long way in just the last year, I think. So I thought, just before we close off the show, let's just do a couple of demos of Google Voice Search in particular, and just how good it is, and some of the feedback it can give you. So I've just got six sample questions here. In fact, the first one's not a question, it's just an instruction. We decided we're going to start by asking Google to define what a smartphone is. So let's do that. Define smartphone.
Smartphone. A smartphone is a mobile phone that offers more advanced computing ability and connectivity than a contemporary basic feature phone.
So there we go. It's that's a fairly simple
right. It's pulling this definition off of Wikipedia.
Yep.
But that'll do nicely, right?
And it's a computer reading the voice. So you know, if you're driving, you don't have to have a look at the screen. You can just listen to the voice, which is fantastic. And a lot of the searches, not all of them, but a lot of the searches now have voice feedback. So let's do another one. The next public holiday in South Africa is Heritage Day.
Right.
But I can never remember when these public holidays are. No. I don't know about you, Craig. So we know that Heritage Day is the next one. So let's just ask Google, when is Heritage Day?
Sure.
Remember, this is a South African specific holiday. So let's see what comes back. When is Heritage Day?
The 24th of September is one guess based on results below.
Pretty good.
Right, and that's fantastic, yeah.
So in case you don't know, which I think everyone does, who the CEO of Microsoft is, let's ask Google. Who is the CEO of Microsoft?
The CEO of Microsoft is Steve Ballmer.
All right.
Didn't interesting get pronunciation, but that'll do.
For sure.
I think it's particularly useful for things like finding out info at short notice that's really sort of time sensitive and relevant right now.
Yeah, like this, for example. What will the weather be like this weekend?
This weekend's forecast for Northwold is 23 degrees and clear.
Now, Northwold happens to be where we are at the moment, and there we go. And it's brought up an image on the screen of the weather for the next 5 or 6 days.
That's pretty promising. What about asking it something like, what's the time in another part of the world?
Yeah, let's do that, Craig. We often want to know what the time is in San Francisco because we look at Apple keynotes and other big tech companies' keynotes that are there. So we can never remember because, you know, there's daylight savings and all the rest of it in America. So you're never quite sure. It's usually 9 or 10 hours or so behind us. But we're never quite sure what time that Apple keynote is going to kick off. But it's so easy. You just say, what is the time in San Francisco?
Time in San Francisco, California, USA is 3:52 a.m.
There we go. Fantastic. Let's just do one last one. And this is the one I'm most impressed with, actually, particularly if you're driving. How long will it take me to drive to the Santon Convention Center?
Santon Convention Center is 25 minutes from your location by car in light traffic. Here are your directions.
Now, that's really fantastic, right? Because it includes traffic information. It's really sort of contextually aware. It's going, this is where you are, this is where you're going, this is the most likely route you take, and that's what the traffic looks like.
It shows a map on the screen of the route you're likely to take, and then you press a button, and it'll fire up Google Navigation and give you a turn-by-turn navigation to your destination.
This is really fantastic. And I mean, this is part of what people find so scary, I guess, is all the data Google has. But when it can execute on so many different levels, sucking in important info, and it's so contextually aware. I think it's just amazing, right?
Yeah, there we go. So that's my pick of the week, Google Voice Search and voice search in general.
Fantastic. And of course, I guess that's all we've got time for. If you've got any comments or anything to share with us, you can leave a note under this post, or you can send an email to info@techcentral.co.za.
That's right. Craig, thanks very much, and we'll see you all again next week. Until then, take care. Bye-bye. We'll be right back.